chapter 2. I want to minister this morning concerning the Antichrists, plural. Now, as we know, there's one man called the Antichrist. But in addition to that, there's a body of people who have their hearts aligned with this one man, whose heart is aligned with Satan. There is a body of people that project the anti-Jesus sentiment that the Antichrist will bring. And so John, the oldest of the living apostles, he says in 1 John chapter 2, reading verse 18, he says, "Little children, it's the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist, singular, the man of sin, shall come, even now, even right now, there are many Antichrists, plural, whereby, or by this, we know that it is the last time." Let's pray. Father, we just thank you this morning for the support that we'll be receiving throughout the entire day here in the worship room, across the online experience. We ask you, Lord, that you would bless these families, that you would cause, according to your word, the windows of heaven to be open and pour out upon them, God, that they need for their families, that they need for their own spiritual well-being. And Father, I ask you now that you would anoint my lips, that you would bring all things back to my remembrance, and that you would give me the ability to speak clearly before your people, that I might project this message into their hearts, anoint the hearts of all that hear this word today and in the weeks to come across the radio. Lord, anoint those hearts that they might receive the engrafted word and that it might sink down deep into their hearts, that it might inspire discernment in their lives. Father, we pray it all in Jesus' name. We thank you for it. Amen and amen. So John was the oldest of the apostles. He died. He was the last original apostle to die. And just before he left, he wrote this epistle. And he was speaking to the people of that day, but I believe by inspiration, he's speaking to all of us. He calls us little children. Little children, it's the last time. How many have just been watching recent events over the past 3-4 years and realized, man, something's going on? That's good. If you realize that, you are exercising discernment. It doesn't mean you have to know everything. It doesn't mean you have to explain everything, but it does mean you have to realize something is happening. And so John is telling it, it's the last time. And as you have heard that the Antichrist shall come, you notice that word Antichrist, it is singular, speaking of one man who prophetically is going to come upon the world stage. And you cannot know who this man is. Regardless of what the YouTube videos say, you cannot know who this man is until he brokers a 7-year peace treaty between Israel and the Arab nations. That's how you know this is the man. Now, I personally think the man is already alive and operating within politics. He just has not yet been revealed. But John says that he shall come. And then he goes on to say, but even right now, there are many antichrists. Plural. And here's the idea. Everything Satan does is an inversion of what Jesus does. Jesus came first. He established his body when he left. Satan does the exact opposite. He has a body of people called the anti-Christians. And they prepare the way so that when Antichrist, the man, comes, there's a society of people already ready to receive him. And so John then says, whereby right now there are many antichrists. Now, because a person is a sinner doesn't make him an antichrist. All of us were sinners. The antichrist is a little bit different in that he hates the things of God. He opposes the things of God. He opposes the name of Jesus Christ. And he tries to put himself or some other idol in the place of God Almighty. That's when you know that you're dealing with an antichrist. So he says, even now there are many antichrists, whereby this is how we can be sure to know that it is the last moments of time. Now, Paul spoke to some great extent on this situation in 2 Thessalonians, if you want to turn there. And he let us know that a sequence of events that we should see play out. And we're already seeing it play out. And what I came to tell you today is that you need to be praying that God give you discernment, and you need to be exercising your discernment. There is a huge effort right now to deceive not just the world, but the church as well. You see, you and I are the ones who stand in the way that the Antichrist can't be revealed until you and I have a great falling away. You and I are what's stopping Satan's whole program right now. And so there's a huge effort then to try to pull us out of our spiritual positions into a political position. And as soon as you do that, you've nixed. And let me say this to you. You're not right and left. You're not Democrats and Republicans. You're not conservatives and progressives. You're Christians. And we don't follow the political winds that are blowing. We follow the book. And so you don't have to worry. Whatever's going on in politics, honey, that's always been going on. You can't fix it. Because the men and women that make up politics, you can't fix them. So Paul then says in 2 Thessalonians, he says in chapter 2, verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means. Now, just that phrase lets us know that in these last days, there is going to be a large-scale effort to deceive society and the church, to bring about deception. That's how Satan moves. And if you've noticed, I'm 68 now. I was watching the news back when Walter Cronkite was doing it. It's been a minute. And there's always been different slants, but right now it doesn't matter what channel you watch, all of it's lies. All of it's deceit. I don't care if you're watching CNN or Fox News networks. It's not the truth. You want the truth? Get in the book. This is the only place. And so when they argue about the little details of life, it doesn't matter. So what? This is what we have to be concerned about. And we have to, as Christians, make sure we're exercising discernment. Not the problem is we watch a news program and we like the personality because they're pretty. They have nice hair. I just like the way that they talk with their hands. And we attach ourselves to the personality, and then we don't care what they're saying because we've already accepted the personality. So stop watching it, read it. Okay. Satan did the same thing with music. We like the beat. We like the rhythm. We like the sound. So he gives us an excellent beat and puts all kind of trashy lyrics in the middle of it. And we're loving the beat and all the trash is going in our hearts. He's doing the same thing in the political area. And you and I need to back out of that. I have seen Christians full of nothing but hate and venom for someone they don't even know simply because they're on the other side. So here's what Paul says. Don't let no man deceive you. Don't fall for that. Make sure that the pulse of your heart is a Christ-like consideration for every man, no matter if it's left, right, whether you agree with him, whether you don't, you should still be a Christian. Are you with me this morning? I know I may step on some toes this morning because we've been giving ourselves over to this political thing. Most Christians think that Fox News is like their idol. And Fox News is not doing any better than a lot of them in that they're not telling you the whole truth. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day refers to the day of the Lord. It is the second advent, the second coming of Christ, when he comes to end the battle of Armageddon, which is at the end of the 7-year tribulation. Paul is saying that day will not come except two things. Number one, there has to be a falling away. A falling away first. Now, this term falling away in the Greek word is apostasia. And we have historically and traditionally, we have defined that as being a departure from the word of God, or a departure from God, or a departure from the truth. But apostasia, that's not what it means. Apostasia only means this: departure. We just extended it to mean the departure. And to some extent, that's not wrong. That's just not what the word means. It just means a departure. So the first thing that we're going to see is a departure. Now that is going to be, of course, we already see it, a departure from truth. But it also will be a departure of the body of Christ from this planet in the resurrection of life or the rapture of the church. Now this can be a stumbling block for some people. Because we think that, or we're inclined to think that, well, if we're going to get raptured out of here before the Antichrist shows himself, it's all good. No, it's not. No, it's not. Because you may not see the man Antichrist while you're on this planet, but you're going to see the body of Antichrist, the anti-Christians, and we're already seeing them all around this globe. The violence that's exploding. The perversions that are exploding, not just here in the U.S., around the globe this is happening. Right now, there is a genocide going on in Nigeria. I believe I read 7,000 Christians who have been killed in the short term, in not too long ago. For no other reasons, Muslims are coming in, they're just killing them. And this is spreading around the world. It's spreading everywhere. And you and I have to realize when we see these things, it's not like, oh, that doesn't affect me, I'm good. No, you need to see, how does that fit into the Bible view of the world? How does that fit? So he says then that the first thing is there is a falling away first. And the second thing is that the man of sin, the man called Antichrist, should be revealed, the son of perdition. Here's his nature. And in so much as this is the nature and the purpose of the Antichrist, it is likewise the nature and the purpose of the anti-Christians. Which, by the way, anti just means against and in the place of. So Antichrist is against and in the place of Christ. Whether it's Antichrist or anti-Christians, it's against and in the place of. So he says then, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God. Right there. Now, I don't know how much you take in of current events, but there is coming a venom now in this nation against all things godly. If it's godly, it's hated. And now in the past, it was secretly hated, but nobody would really say it. Well, this devil is all the way out of the closet now. He's all the way out of the closet. And you can see that he's anti anything that has God's moral code on it. He opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, we understand in the prophetic sense that's talking about Israel's rebuilt temple that they'll rebuild in the tribulation period, and he will go in and defile that. That's the physical application of that phrase. But your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And the man of sin will come into your body, and he'll use whatever means he can use, but he'll also use a political means to come into your body and show himself that he is God. We see this already happening. Several years ago, under two administrations ago, we saw the White House lit up with LGBTQ colors. And now we see churches lit up with LGBTQ rainbows. The man of God was set in the temple of God, showing, well, I'm a Christian, showing himself he is God. I'm saved. I'm one of them. But that's not the truth. And we have to realize, we have to use discernment to realize any human being on the planet can say, I'm a Christian. But not any human being can walk the walk. And if you're a Christian today, you know the walk is not that easy. The talk is easy. The walk is, you got to pay attention to walk the walk. He sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Verse 7, because the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now that little phrase, the mystery of iniquity, it means the concealed power of lawlessness. That's what iniquity means, lawlessness. And the mystery is something that has been hidden in the past, which is now revealed, the mystery of lawlessness. And in the past, you would find, especially amongst our so-called political leaders, our governmental leaders, they were civil, at least. They disagreed, but they were civil. They would have a debate. They would talk to one another. But now absolute lawlessness has broken out. We don't care. No matter what the extent is, one side or the other has to go to, as long as we get our way. Amen. If we have to rip things all the way up, fine, long as we get our way. And that would be good if their way was God's way, but it's not. Neither side is God's way. The mystery of iniquity doth already. It's already working in our society. And so when you see things become so contorted out of their normal settings, apply some discernment to that and realize that people have given themselves over to a strong delusion. When Big Bubba's trying to be Mary Jane, that's a strong delusion, baby. And when you have normal, educated human beings that look at Big Bubba saying he's Mary Jane and saying, yes, I think he could also get pregnant. That's a strong delusion. Yes, it is. In fact, I can't think of one stronger than that, to be honest. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but the he here is talking about the body of Christ. Jesus' body on this planet. He who now letteth, the word letteth means restrained or holds back. He who is now holding back the revelation of the Antichrist will continue to hold him back until he, the body of Christ, be taken out of the way. Okay, so that's what that's talking about. Verse 9. Even him, speaking of the Antichrist, and by extension, speaking of anti-Christians, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. So Antichrist, he's not Satan. Antichrist is not Satan. He's just a man. But he's empowered by the powers of darkness like no other man has been invested in. And his purpose is to move forward Satan's plan in terms of taking over this planet. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. That's how Satan moves right there. Especially the lying wonders part. And with all deceivableness. This phrase deceivableness, it means the use of deceit through attractive lies. Lies that are attractive to people. Have you ever noticed how the two sides of the political battle, they use words to mean what they don't really mean? Or have you noticed when you're reading the paper how many adjectives they use? The adjective rate is way up because they're trying to gaslight people and shape their perception through the adjectives that they use. So he says then that it's with all deceivableness, attractive lies. Several years ago, they had a campaign, one of the biggest corporations on the planet, Google Corporation. They had a worldwide campaign that they called it Legalize Love. Do you remember that? You don't remember that? And so whenever you went to the website, it said Legalize Love. And they projected this around the world. And it was a pro-homosexual campaign. They say, hey, you know, homosexuals, they should love too. They have a right to love too. It's an attractive lie. Because I love my brothers in this room. I ain't having sex with them. So see, what they're really saying when they say, they make it real attractive, legalize love, but what they're talking about is sexual perversion. And so that's what he's saying here, that with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, they want to promote iniquity through the means of using language that's contorted from its original definition into something else. So that, I jumped down. Because, where am I at? With all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish. They perish because that, and when it says perish, it means ultimately they go to the lake of fire because they receive not the love of the truth. Now, let's get down to us. This book is more important than any football, basketball, hockey, golf, turn, anything else in your life going on. There's nothing as important as this book. And wherever you are in your consumption of the scripture, it's not good enough. I'm starting a new Bible study on Wednesday, and I've been studying in preparation. I put all the materials together, but I've just been refreshing myself in that. At the same time, I'm rewriting my commentary on Ephesians because I don't like the language, so I'm upgrading that, going back through Ephesians. At the same time, when I'm in my car, wherever I go, I don't listen to music. I listen to theology. That's all I listen to. So wherever you, and I'm not where I need to be. Yeah. The other night I spent maybe, I don't know, close to an hour playing Call of Duty. Could have been here. Could have been here. And so those that perish, they perish because they receive not the love of the truth. You got to love the word. And once you start getting into it, you realize, man, this is incredible. What God has given us, what a revelation this is. Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Verse 11. For the cause that they would receive not the love of the truth. For this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion. In our society, we know right now, we've accepted a delusion. We as a whole, society as a whole, rejects anything that's truthful and comes up with 99 arguments, but will not accept just the basic truth. That every man on the planet is wretched and undone and depraved, and that we need Jesus Christ to show us the way, but all of us are so smart, we think we're smarter than God and say, well, what about my way? And we try to, we're like a flock of roaches. We're all going in separate direction. Rather than coming back to the word of God and say, Lord, show me how to live. Show me how to walk. Show me what I'm supposed to think about this. And if you check your own life, like me, you'll find you make a lot of decisions on the fly and you never stop to say, God, what is the right and the wrong? Exercise some discernment before we commit ourselves to a wrong direction. For this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion. Now, whenever you read this and you look at this phrase, strong delusion, you have to look at our society now. This is the strongest delusion I've ever seen in my life. If you had told me 30 years ago that this is where we'd be at, man, I would have fought you tooth and nail. There's no way we could. There's no way. You're saying all of society doesn't know what bathroom to go to? That's ridiculous. But yet here we are in this place. And we have members of our government leadership team that are saying, no, this should be a discussion. You know, we think men should be boxers with women. That seems right. A strong delusion. Already, if they ever make it a law that you got to have one bathroom for all the men, you can't have separate, we're going to break ours down and make each facility a separate room. So it won't be, only one person can be in there anyway. Because that is delusional. It's bizarre. Something's wrong with people. A strong delusion. So that, why does God allow this strong delusion? So that they should believe a lie. In other words, God's attitude is that if you want a lie, if you prefer a lie, I'll let you believe a lie. I'll let you drift so far down the road of lying until you find yourself at death's door holding on to nothing but an absolute lie. God will let that happen. Because that's what you prefer. He will not override your will. He gave you a will and a responsibility to line your will up with him. And to the extent that we say, I will not do that, I'm lining my will up with myself, whichever way I want to go. To that extent, you are destroying yourself. The wheels of God's justice, they turn slow, I will admit. but they grind exceedingly small. So that they should believe a lie, so that they all might be damned. This word damned is condemned. This talks about the last day condemnation at the great white throne judgment. So that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's pretty tight, isn't it? I don't think they'd ever let me put that on national TV and just preach that message. That would be taken down in a moment's time. But saints, what I'm trying to say this morning to all of us is that we have to practice some discernment to see what's going on in society and apply it to the prophetic timeline. Right now, earthquakes are happening all over the planet. Have you noticed? We've got the masses. No matter what nation you go to, the masses, the people are in uproar. We have Israel is a trembling cup. Everything is as it should be for that moment. And most Christians are just going, well, I got to go to work tomorrow morning. And then, yeah, I'm going to go to the club afterwards. And you want to come? Not even thinking about, having no regard whatsoever for the things that are eternal. My last verse I want to share with you in 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is Paul talking to Timothy, and he says, this know, Timothy, this know also, that in the last days, perilous times will come, dangerous times. You know, you can just be in a store now and get shot dead while you're shopping. You can be in your house, putting your baby to sleep, and a bullet come through the wall and kill you and the baby. That's what's happening in our society right now, perilous times. Because men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fear, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, having an external form, that they have the externals of religion without the reality of religious substance internally. They have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. So when you see churches, 40, 50,000 people that all single file in on Sunday morning, I submit to you half of them don't know the Lord. They have a form of godliness. The man of sin has come into the temple of God, showing himself by going to church and doing so-called Christian things that they are of God. When in reality, what you're really looking at is an anti-Christian society that's bubbling all around us. And saints, you make sure, don't get caught up in this political mess. It's enticing to your mind. It invokes your emotions in an attempt to pull you in into an emotional state, a politically emotional state, rather than being in a stable Christian spiritual mindset. The devil's always going to be in a mess. The devil's kids are always going to be in a mess. But you and I, we should be able to see this thing coming and realize that Jesus is coming back soon. Amen? Praise the Lord. Would you bow your heads, please, all over the room? Father, I've done my best to open these passages of scripture up. I'd ask you that you'd lay it into your people's heart here in the worship room, those that hear across the online experience or the archives. Lord, that they go to these passages and begin to read them and begin to ask you, Lord, for understanding in all things. Father, open the eyes of all of our understanding that we might see through your eyes, that we might see through a spiritual lens, discerning and understanding these things must needs be. Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Come on, would you stand to your feet this morning? And here's your prayer this morning. God, open the eyes of my understanding. Give me discernment that I can see. Lord, I appreciate having a pastor, but I need to see this myself. I appreciate men and women of God that will help me, but God, let me see it. Let me follow you alone. Come on, just reach out to the Lord. God, give me discernment this morning.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the word. Thank you, Father, for just helping us to hear and listen. And hopefully, God, we will be obedient to your word, asking and pleading for discernment so that we may be able to turn away those that come to us with all kind of foolishness. Father God, I just pray that this will not go on deaf ears. And I thank you and I praise you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Just a few announcements. If you haven't already had a chance to give, we ask that you would please do so and help us in supporting the ministry. This Wednesday, October the 1st at 7 o'clock, we'll be starting our Bible class on Mark's Gospel. October the 3rd, this coming Friday, will be Ignite Prayer from 10 a.m. It was starting at 10 a.m. to 12. And thank you to all who came out to the movie night. It was a very good movie, and hopefully you enjoyed it as much as I did. And that is all that I have. You are dismissed. Thank you.